Coming up on Verse Chorus Verse, part two of our 47 part series on 1994. That's next. Hi, everybody. I'm DL. We're at episode 170 something, I think. It's good to see you. Evil is here with us. Evil, we think that he likes Prong and Soundgarden, Jimmy. Evil, how are you?
I'm good. I have some Laphroaig in me.
It's been a while.
And I said at the end.
You have a little what in you?
Laphroaig.
Oh, okay.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's okay, right? No, I'm good. I'm. This is a fun conversation that we're continuing here.
It's not a bad. It's not a bad one at all.
Doesn't suck.
Speaking of things that don't suck, we need to do a drunk level assessment. Evil, where are you at?
Mildly tipsy. I said at the end of the last episode, which was days ago for listeners, it was just a little bit ago for us, that I was going to pour some Laphroaig. But I lied, and I have something new.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, let's do a what are we drinking?
You know what? When we do the two-parters, often we don't do what are we drinking at the start of this part two. And it's the
I try to do the drunk level assessment, but it does fall a little flat. I think then, I think we should
step it up.
Plus, you know
what
my favorite thing to do editing-wise right now?
What?
Is I find the most awkward time to cut off a sentence for what are we drinking. So it always goes like, all right, so here we go. What are we got?
Whatever.
What are you drinking?
I got this a new scotch. It is Bruichladdich. I went to the store. This was a couple weeks ago, and I wanted something new. I wanted a Islay-ish sort of scotch, and I was mm-hmm. like, I'm gonna get Bruichladdich the classic laddie because I've never had it before, and so I had that.
I like that
hand.
You're turning into Rachel and you're trying to say it with the accent.
Well, that's what it's called. It's not the accent. It's how it's pronounced.
They're the same picture.
Anyway, it's fun to do it. Citrus.
That's anyway. What she said.
Yeah, it's their Islay Barley. They do this release every so often. 2013 Islay Barley. It's really fucking good.
Can you show me the bottle?
Oh, yeah.
I have a beef with Scotland.
The tubes?
And the beef... No, not the tubes. I'm fine with the tubes. My beef is that they've start... Yeah, I mean... Why are they're making it new age modern labeling? I want my shit to look like it's from the 1800s. You know what I'm
sure.
saying?
That's fair.
It's a very stupid thing to complain about, but we have a podcast.
This
job.
Is good scotch, by the way. So continuing with up in my game for the drinks for this year. Not bad for a
Well, scotch. I've still got my sweet ginger. Check that. Reverse it. For those of you that weren't here for the last episode, which makes zero fucking sense because this is a continuation. It's grapefruit. It's ginger. It's lemon. It's a bunch of gin thrown together with some honey. Bob's your uncle. It's delightful. I'm enjoying it. You know how this year you have a vinyl problem?
Dude. Fuck. Holy shit.
So proud of you.
Oh, can I show you something new? Is this
yeah.
show and tell time?
What do we have?
It's still in the plastic wrap. It's Botch's We Are the Romans. I am fucking so excited for this.
Was that at the Record Exchange or
no,
did you order
this was
it?
A special order and I'm like, I'm getting that. I got an email from Revolver somewhere and I'm like, I'm buying that right now because I want that on vinyl and it's gonna fucking sell out. So I got it as fast as I could.
Jar of Flies box set sold out in 7 minutes.
Fuck. So dumb.
It's like
so
$250 dumb. Bucks. Jesus. And it sold out in 7 minutes. Ugh. You people are fucking idiots.
Yeah. We are you people,
That's
by
so
the way.
Much money. Do you have an album for you? Oh my God. While you are answering this, I'm going to panic. Do you have an album for you that you... are almost certain that you do not think will ever come out in
on vinyl?
That you're just going to have to like... Well, so one of my albums that I was talking about, it came out in 1994. And oh. I was panicking because like, fuck, what if it came out in this quarter? It did not. It came out in the next quarter. We're okay. We're safe.
So we're all right. Everything's fine.
We'll talk about it in the next quarter. The first quarter of 1994, we're doing it now. I'm going to start, before we take a break, I'm just going to start with one last award and category before we get to our winners and losers of 1994. Because I don't know, I think this might spark a conversation. Evil, what was the worst album or one of the worst albums of 1994?
I mean, there's some obvious ones. There's,
yeah.
I mentioned Vanilla Ice and MC Hammer put out albums this year. I have a hard time shitting on stuff.
I don't think it's the worst album of the year, but I have a take that I don't think that many people are going to like. And that is that this genre of Disney soundtracks is way the fuck overrated.
Oh.
So Lion King came out this year.
How dare you?
Aladdin was what, 2 years before this or something like that? Like 91 or something like that?
Yeah, maybe. Something like that.
These soundtracks were so popular and they still are. And I got to say, I think they're kind of dumb. Mm.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
That's my take.
I don't hate it.
Why did everybody love Disney scores so much?
I'm going to have answers, I think, for at least a couple of the next quarters. But this one, I had a hard time finding what's the worst album.
I'm sad you weren't mad at my take.
I'm not. Some people will be. At least. I mean,
Hakuna Matata, right?
Right. It means no worries.
Hey, okay, let's talk for real. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to do some 1994. We'll be right back. We are back. It is time to talk some albums. Get comfortable because we might go off on some goddamn tangents.
Yeah.
Not might. Evil, who won 1994?
Well, not only do I think this is who won 1994, but we skipped one of the earlier awards and categories, and it was the theme song for...
Oh, fuck.
No, but that's fine. Yes. I got your back. I'm here. This is why...
You did. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. You know?
David...
Never go it alone.
Don't edit that out. Just show how nice Evil is.
So, and I think... Who won 1994 is who the theme song, well, and we're talking Q1, is who the theme song of Q1 1994 is about, and it's Losers. I think Losers won 1994. The theme song is, of course, Beck's Loser.
That's such a good answer. That's an amazing answer. My theme song for that year is, it has to be, you know what it has to be? It has to be the first song that I ever performed in front of people with a band.
Whoa.
And it was, I don't know if it was this year or the next year. It was probably the next year. I was in like seventh grade. But a buddy named Brandon, a buddy named Brent, and I held a concert at his big ass house. We had black lights all over. We were the king shits of the school. And the first song we played was When I Come Around. And let me tell you, we fucking blew the house down. I'm sure we sucked ass. We tried to record it. It didn't work. It was, I'm sure it was terrible. But I got to say, When I Come Around is it.
That's good. I think that's a great answer for that. Also, for a young band at that time in that era, I think that's fucking fantastic. I also think that... A great name for a high school punk-ish band would be the King Shits. That would be awesome.
That would be very cool. I don't remember what our name was. It was terrible, I guarantee you that.
You're the King Shits
now. Oh, God. You know what I'm going to say is I was thinking, I'm going to go the easy route. I am going to say Trent Reznor. Trent Reznor, he had deserved a specific amount of recognition because of Pretty Hate Machine. He got it because of Downward Spiral. I think that the Downward Spiral is the reason that he ended up basically for the rest of his career doing anything he wanted. Right. And everything that he wanted to do was just fucking... It's still brilliant.
Yeah.
It's still brilliant. The scores he's doing now are still unreal.
I mean,
so I'm saying Trent.
Was it last year or the year before we talked about the Halsey album? We're like, this is a Nine Inch Nails album. Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And last year, we haven't talked about this, but last year he did the fucking score for the Ninja Turtles movie
that
came out.
Right. Yeah.
It's so good. It's so goddamn good.
Oh my God.
But dude, he's another Dave Grohl. He's everything he touches, man. Yep. It's gold. Fucking brilliant. Let's go to the top five favorite albums of the year. Not best, everybody. Favorites. Our favorites. Top fives. First of all, Evil, do you have any honorable mentions?
I have two honorable mentions. I think I was allowed two. No. So I filled that up. I'm going to take advantage of any extras this year because there's so much shit to talk about.
It really is. I maybe should have too, but I'm not going to. So give me your first honorable mention.
And I
just to warn you people, not to warn you people, you want this. This isn't going to be your typical, this is mine, this is mine. We're probably going to talk about every single one of these for a few minutes at least.
Yeah.
So you're welcome is what I'll say. That's what I'll say. You're welcome. Go ahead.
Don't
cry about it, man.
I'm so sad that my there's no order to these two. They're honorifics here, but I'll start with the Crow soundtrack because of how big it was and how
did that come out in the first quarter?
It did.
I am fucking fired. I'm fired. I can't fuck.
Well,
man.
I know that you and Rachel talked about this already, so I didn't want to.
The Crow soundtrack was so fucking massive.
Yeah, right?
What's your next one?
Mm.
God, that's a good one. Good job.
Our Lady Peace, Starseed. Or Navid, sorry. I wrote down the
We knew where you were going.
Navid.
We knew. Navid. Hey, songs, Starseed, albums.
Song,
gotcha. Navid.
Yeah, yeah. Our Lady Peace. I think that album is severely underrated. It gets overshadowed by Clumsy.
Yep.
But in a lot of ways, I kind of like it more.
It's rough.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yes.
It's fucking, the structure isn't as, it's not as pretty.
No.
Lead singer is doing a lot more. He's a lot more, he cares a lot less about how pretty he's sounding and a lot more about how angry he is.
Yeah.
Which I love.
I like it. I like it as well.
We might talk about that a little bit more soon.
I mean, there are others I could listen. I could just go down this fucking list of albums I have over here. There were so many good debut albums this year. There were like, there's just so much. Like I listened to the Brian Setzer Orchestra debut album from this year.
Oh, it's
fucking great. Fucking great, man.
It really is. Ugh. And that's one of those that I just, it fucking blew. Like I read it in our list because we had a whole list of everything that came out in the first quarter. And I remember reading that and being like, fuck, I got to re-listen to that.
Previously, we've done yearly breakdowns for music, and sometimes they split into a double episode. How in the fuck would we have ever thought to do 1994 in a episode or a double episode? Like,
yeah, I don't know,
dude.
I really don't know. And we like, I was just thinking last night about how we maybe should have made like half our episodes this year, 10 out of 10 album episodes.
There's so
many. Where we just
many.
Go over specific albums and talk about if they're 10 out of 10s. Totally right.
When I pitched this to you as like an idea to do for, let's this do an entire year of episodes as a 30-year retrospective, I pitched it as, hey, I think it's one of the best years in music ever, maybe the best year in music ever. But I don't think it's that based on it being full of like top albums. It was just a lot of quality albums. Now I'm looking at it and I'm like, Jesus, it might be because it's full of top albums.
We're going to talk about our top 10 and it's fucking stacked. What's your number five? What's your fifth favorite album?
Number 5 is King's X's Dogman.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. For those of you that want a little bit of friction with your podcast, we were trying, you know, we give each other lists and stuff like that. And actually, usually it's amicable because all the music fucking rock, because we're smart dudes, yep, and we, yep, listen to great, yep, music. King's X, when I turned it on, what's the first song? Dogman?
Dogman is the title track. You hate
which
it.
Is the which the title of the album. I fucking hate that song.
Yeah.
It sounds like fucking pre Nickelback to me, or so, you know, like something like that.
No. No, it doesn't. Yeah, it hurts me.
Evil hates the take,
yeah,
so much. But so, what is it about King's X to get your juices flowing?
They're one of those N of one bands. Nobody sounds like them. I like mentally loop them into that category. For mm-hmm. me, that category is like late 80s, early 90s with the Faith No More's and the Chili Peppers. And, you know, I could even put in bands like The Cult in there, or you had mentioned
Hell
Guns
yeah.
N' Roses.
Cult's a good one.
Getting like later, there's like the Tools and Rage Against the Machines. There's just like this group of albums that are a group of artists or musicians who sound like nothing else. They're not metal. They're too heavy to be just like normal rock. They're like alternative hard rock. They're like square, yeah, in there. I put Extreme in there. I know people are like, Extreme's a hair band. I'm like, no, they're fucking not. They're whatever. I won't. Mm. Yeah. God damn it. Fucking fight people. Anyway, they are in this category. And I don't care if you love them or hate them. I think they're great. They're met with acclaim by a lot of people who are,
they are
into music. So,
yeah. My number 5, and we started to talk about this. I forgot that I had switched some stuff around, but I had told you that I was contemplating this for my list. It's on my list. My number 5. Okay. So there's this very, very huge band who came out with an album in 94. It honestly is a band that has no business coming out with an album in 1994. And here's something you should know about me is I love the super, super cheesy sound of the late 80s. That white guy songwriting, that Stan Ridgway, Dire Straits sort of shit. I love it. And Pink Floyd's Division Bell is absolutely that. It is. I get that people think it's too fucking slow, which doesn't make that much sense because it's Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd has never been fucking jumped down your throat.
Right.
But I think what people didn't like is that it wasn't experimentational. It was kind of a little more straightforward, easy rock. I fucking love it. But here's me saying that I am admitting that it's not really that good, but I fucking love it. I love it. I love Division Bell. I think it's a great album.
Yeah. Pink Floyd is when I have to be in a very specific mood to listen to Pink Floyd, and that would be aided greatly if I partook of THC more often, because they immediately take me to the feeling I have when I watch Heavy Metal, the movie,
the cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Late 70s, early 80s prog rock. It pulls me right into that, but I have to be in a very specific kind of frame of mind to listen to that.
Kids, don't ever do shrooms and then listen to Shine On You Crazy Diamond. It's not the greatest experience you will ever have in your life. Don't do it.
Our brother in arms as fans of Coheed, my neighbor Tyler is going to love you,
Tyler,
for that, for this pick.
Oh, he's a huge Pink Floyd guy.
He's a big Pink Floyd David Gilmour fan. He loves this album, so he's gonna absolutely love it.
Oh, Division Bell.
Yep, he's gonna love that. You,
I know,
picked this.
I'm going to my number 4 here. We have not talked about this one.
Whoa.
And I'm very intrigued to hear your thoughts on this band in general.
Okay.
Because this could, you might actually kind of be into them, Or this could be a never even gave them a chance. Where I am not a big fan of this band, I do like them, and I do think this is by far their best studio album. And the album is Hoist by Phish.
You know, okay. All right. I have a interesting relationship with Phish because
I thought you might. For those of you that don't know, Evil has a fairly good amount of hippie friends.
Yes. I have friends who many of them are in a band, and a couple of them are absolutely monstrous Phish fans.
And
yeah, I get it. I get Trey's an amazing guitar player. I get
a beast.
Same thing with Pink Floyd. If I was high as fuck, I would be a huge Phish fan right this minute. I noticed that Phish had this album out. I feel like
here's
Phish,
what I would say. This is what I would say for you, who is probably similar to me in that I'm not gonna dig into Phish to figure out what I like. You're gonna have to tell me exactly what it is. I feel like if there was any studio album of theirs that you would be into,
it's this one,
because it is a little bit more of the 3 minute something songs, and it is a little more kind of straightforward rock. It'd be Hoist.
Okay.
Which is why I like it.
I'll listen to it then.
Songs like Down With Disease are so, oh my God, it's fucking amazing.
I'll give it a whirl. There are Phish songs that I really like, and there are Phish songs that I'm like, I don't need this in my life. And
very understandable. Very understandable.
But at the same time, I fucking love guitar. That is a big part of my fandom of music is just guitar. And I know that Trey is capable of feats that are amazing on the guitar. And so I will open mind. I will go listen to it. And sure. Absolutely.
If you have me time tonight, listen to the song Down With Disease.
Okay. I will
start there.
We'll do that.
You will at least say, wow. Why did I think it doesn't matter? What's your fourth favorite album?
So this one, surprised me that I put it on the list because I know it's a great album. I know it's a phenomenally great album. I never owned it. Number one. I have listened to the album in its entirety, but not for a number of years. I am very familiar with it. Re-listening to it, I'm like, oh man, I really get it. I really, really, really get it. And it's The Downward Spiral.
Oh.
Falling in love with that album all over again. And I am fucking living for it.
That makes me obviously very, very happy. That reminds me that I need to say that, and no offense to Division Bell or Hoist, but I purposely did not put any of the albums that we have on our top 10 on my favorite five. Because honestly,
I failed.
That's not a failure. It's just a personal, like my top five would be close to the top five that are on the fucking list. Actually, that's not true, but I didn't put Downward Spiral Super Unknown on it because it's everybody. That better be your two favorite on it. Like, fucking duh.
I'm a fucking simple.
Except for it's your fourth favorite, which just, I'm scared though because I love that you like it, but I'm scared that it's your fourth. So what's your third?
Oh, you're not going to like this. And this is, I probably should put as an album Downward Spiral above this one. But this is,
yeah, but it's favorites. This, it's not best.
This
it's
is
favorites.
Off of 30 fucking years of listening to really just two songs. And it's Pantera's Far Beyond Driven because,
oh, okay. That's, yeah. I thought you were going to say Motley Crue.
Oh, Jesus.
Which that's okay too. But I'm okay with that.
Dude.
That Pantera. So I listened to that when you gave it a re-listen. It's not like I never listened to it. That album is fucking spectacular.
It is.
It's a fantastic album. Right.
You know, like the saying, it's greater than the sum of its parts. I think some of the parts are better than the album. I think 5 Minutes Alone. I think I'm Broken. Maybe one or two other tracks are better tracks than the album is as a whole.
My number three, we've already talked about, so we won't go into it. We don't have to go into too much, but we can if we want. Actually, maybe I'll talk about it a little bit. I should just fucking tell you and shut the fuck up and talk. It's Navid by Our Lady Peace.
God, no. You held that one so close to the vest, and I was talking about that.
I did.
That's awesome.
So here's the thing. I have always put that in the back of my head as the fourth best Our Lady Peace album.
Wow.
Okay. And I won't go into which one is which, but it's not. It might be top two. Mm. And that's saying a lot because I fucking love Our Lady. There are four Our Lady Peace albums that I think are masterpieces.
Yeah.
And Navid is now one of them. Now, studying for this, listening to it, and just thinking like, I remember there were a couple good songs. And then five tracks in, I'm like, nope. Every fucking song on this is just so killer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Our Lady Peace. You guys were legit for a long time you weren't.
That's okay. One, until you weren't. One, I hope we have Canadian fans. Two,
we do.
Good.
Actually, we have been ranking in.
What the fuck is going on there?
I'm leaving that in. What the
fuck? God.
We have been ranking in Canada for like 6 consecutive months.
I'm not your buddy,
so
guy.
We do have. Yeah, not your guy, buddy.
Not your friend, pal. Good. Number one, I'm glad we have Canadian fans. Two, that's an album that I'm going to have to get on vinyl. I fucking love it so much. Three,
you know who loves Our Lady Peace?
Who?
Mark Kowal.
Oh, well, that makes sense. That makes a ton of sense. I'm looking forward to our conversation about Spiritual Machines someday. Cause we've had one before, but it was years ago, and that'll be an interesting one.
That might be a 7-parter for me. On to my top two. My number two, how do I say this? This should be the best album of the quarter. This should be my favorite. Not only is there not a bad song on this album, but there's not a not incredible song on this album. And I'd say 80% of it was popular. It was a kind of a right turn, no pun intended, for those of you that really know their catalog, for this band. But Jar of Flies is an amazing fucking album. It's a goddamn EP. Dude.
You broke your own rules.
I did.
Because I had that.
But Jerry and Lane, look, you track listing on that?
Dude.
That's 7 songs of fucking insanity, man.
Yes.
But why didn't you guys put one more song on that? Just make it an album? You fucking assholes. Golly. Jar of Flies is an insane album. It really is.
Yes. I had it as an alternate because I knew it was an EP, and then I'm like, he's not even gonna like that, so I'm gonna put something else in as an alternate that's an actual full album. It would probably be on my top 5 list.
Here's what you should know about me by now is my anger is always fake. So if you put an EP in there, I'm going to be like, you fucker. And then we're going to drink and I'm going to be happy.
That should be the debut album name for the King Shits. My anger is always fake.
My anger is always fake. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Fish album. Evil, what's your number two?
I'm so simple because this is so predictable. It's Prongs Cleansing is my number two.
That's all right.
Duh.
I'm glad it's on there.
Yeah.
Hey, we've talked about Prong. It's a fantastic album.
Yes.
Even if you're not a heavy person, you should at least give it a shot.
I listen to that album like regularly. Like
it's great.
I listen to a lot of Prong regularly. They're a staple.
Evil. I'd like to pretend like this is suspenseful, but it's not. What is your favorite album?
You know,
of 1994.
I should have done it like you did and picked stuff that I knew wasn't going to be on the top 10 as favorites. This album is so fucking good. And this is spoilers for like multiple episodes upcoming.
Yep.
From
which is okay.
My point of view. Because I think this is, I'm walking the plank on here.
I'm ready. Do it.
I think this is not only one of the best rock albums of all time, I think is one of the best albums of all time and might be the best album of all time for me.
Woo!
And that is Super Unknown by Soundgarden.
Wow.
And it has been that since 1994.
I love that take though. I love it for so many reasons.
It is not, it has never fallen out of like my top albums list. A lot of albums have. I didn't have to divorce myself from the band like I did with Stone Temple Pilots. We talked about that. As much as I listened to Prong and Cleansing, I listened to this more today than I did back then. And I listened to it so much back then.
I'm not going to go into it because we have a lot. This album is going to be brought up a lot this year.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I'll just say that. That frames a little, like, I got a little emotional talking about, like, this was a couple seasons ago, talking about like Taylor Momsen and her like fronting stuff and their that her connection to Soundgarden and Chris's that's why, is because this is like musically woven into my DNA as a music fan.
This was one of the few albums on here that not only did I not have to listen to, like I did,
right,
but not only did I not have to listen to get ready for this, I mean I could recite you every lyric. I could play every guitar part on this. Like this is exactly, you put it the best. This music is woven into my DNA at this point.
Yep.
It is, but it's not my number one.
I know.
And my number one, and let me see, this might be a little anticlimactic because in our last episode, I talked about this album and I have, it's been a weird day for me. I'll just say that. And the reason that it's been a weird day is because one of my favorite albums of all time by one of my favorite artists of all time, I found out some shit about today and I don't know what to do with it. And I, you know what? I've been drinking. I'm having a great time. So I'm not even, I'm trying to block that out. But my favorite album of 1994's first quarter is The Next 100 Years by Ted Hawkins. It's that album had so much to do with my life and changed me when I heard it, and just all the, it led me down. That's the reason why I started liking blues. That's the reason why that was the first album that I was like, oh shit, old fucking dudes playing a guitar are the song. Those are the people that write song. Like this changed my fucking life. And it's an incredible album. I still recommend listening to it. And you knew why because of the episode before this. Fucking people, man.
I'm glad you kept it. I gotta think about how to say this. I am glad that you didn't allow someone's actions to influence your appreciation of art.
Yes. Not only that, but I know, look.
I'm going to try to do something, and this is probably not going to land gracefully, but I'm going to do it anyway. It is unfair to you as someone who appreciates something to negate all of your good experience because you learned something new about the person who created the thing that gave you that experience.
I agree.
It's tricky. It's very tricky. But your feelings, you're like, you don't want to take like the fucking magic eraser to your life and scrub out stuff that made you feel good because someone did something fucking awful.
Exactly. That's perfectly put. This talk got real. That's dumb.
Yeah.
So let's have some more fun now. Now we're at top five songs, top five favorite songs. Oh. We'll get there someday. Do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. I have two honorable mentions.
You silly man. What are they?
I'm gonna start with Soundgarden Spoon Man. Because it's one of the best rock songs ever written. Holy fuck.
I would not argue that at all.
And also I picked this one because in Q1 of 1994, I was listening to the fuck out of me some Spoon Man. Like I said, that Loser was the anthem or the theme song for this era.
Yeah.
Spoon Man was the song I was listening to the most.
I think me too. It's fucking Spoon Man, man. Yeah. Even the story behind it with the guy that they got to play, everything like that. What's your other one?
It's Loser. Because it was so big at the time. I mean, come on, man.
It was.
That song was fucking massive. It's massive.
It was humongous.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
We're going to go to my number five. Ooh. We've actually talked about this before because we did a dissection of this band. The song is Rock and Roll Lifestyle by Cake. How do you afford your rock and roll lifestyle? Fashion Nugget was what made me fall in love with Cake.
Yeah.
But my God, I wish that I would have heard this first, because I know that I would have heard Rock and Roll Lifestyle and been like, this is the coolest fucking band that's ever lived in the history of anything.
You know, I heard the singles for, I heard this song before Fashion Nugget, because it was
Did you really?
Yeah, it was on, it got radio play. So I was a casual fan before Fashion Nugget came out. Every time we talk about Cake, it's like, it's special to me, because I think the Cake concert that you and I went to with a group of friends part of the catalyst of why we do the podcast. It's like, it's one of those things that made us connect on music. And it was such a good fucking show.
It was insane. It was so good. They were so good.
Yeah.
They really were. You know what's fucking crazy is we did Fashion Nugget as a 10 out of 10, and it didn't get a 10 out of 10. Oh, well. What's your five?
My number five, I think it's a great song. Like, I feel like I have to qualify this.
You're already defending yourself.
It's Fool You by King's X. It's such a good song.
Okay.
So good.
I have to take your word for it. I don't remember it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Go listen to it, listeners. You guys are smarter than DL.
I'm sure they already have, and they probably agree. They probably, I'm sure they think I'm a dummy. What's your number four? As you take a big drink of water.
It is, I'm glad I get to say this. It's Don't Follow by Alice
in Chains. You know what I love about that? I love that you very obviously were super into that album, because Don't Follow is like one of the only two deep cuts.
It's so good, man. It's
so good.
What
the
I like
ending blues fucking part. Oh my God.
I originally had I Stay picked in this slot. And then I listened to Jar of Flies a few times and I'm like, fuck, man. The thing about it is how it builds. Good. It builds from the little guitar and vocal intro, and then it
and it's just Jerry
off. Yeah,
for the first fucking 3 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, with some harmonies, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
But then it stops, God. And then it kicks in. Oh, dude, it's so fucking good. And harmonica, good harmonica.
Yes,
and we will talk about
harmonica in it.
We will talk about good harmonica this year at some point. Good harmonica is
evil. You're making me so happy.
Missing from music, I will say that.
It is.
Yeah.
There was one man, nobody will ever guess who we're talking about, that was kind of all over in 94.
Yeah, he was okay at harmonica.
Fucking great answer. My number four, God is dead and no one cares if there is a hell. I'll see you there. Heresy by Nine Inch Nails.
God.
I think that's the song. I think that's the song that made Trent Reznor like one of my favorite fucking artists of all time.
Yeah.
I could have picked half that album, but there's something about Heresy.
If we did a top 10 best songs, what is number one, and tell me why it's closer?
My number three, I think we've talked about it before, but yes, it's Spoon Man. Spoon Man is, it's Spoon Man. Evil, what's your third favorite song?
Such a good answer. It is, I think you're going to like this. I think you'll like this pick. This wasn't on my, I had a top five roughed out early on. And then I, you know, as went through the year, listened to the music. When I heard it again, I'm like, oh fuck, I've got to put it on there. And it's, I even fucked up earlier and I said it when I wasn't supposed to. It's Our Lady of Peace, Starseed.
Oh God, that's so good. That beginning, that Oh, it's so good. It really is. That's a good first album.
Probably not in the Canadian North, but here they are a very underrated band in current day.
They are, yes.
Like maybe not in the 90s because they had a decent amount of success, but
for me, they kind of did it to themselves because I really think the last half of their fucking discography is terrible, but whatever.
That's fair.
What's your number two?
Ooh, I said I could listen to the song on repeat over and over and over again. And I highly recommend anyone who's a metal fan or a Pantera fan, go to the YouTubes and look up I'm Broken Remastered. I'm Broken was already one of my favorite all-time metal tracks. He made it even better somehow. It's I'm Broken. That song is so fucking good. It is so fucking good. If you are a fan of metal or a guitar player, let me just talk to guitar players who are metal guitar players. If you don't say that Dimebag is a heavy influence upon you, you're either a liar or you're fucking stupid. Because either he was and you're saying he's not, or you haven't listened to him because he should be.
I agree with that. I very much agree with that. Going to the number two. Okay, my number two. I've kind of already hinted at it, but my top five favorite could have just been five songs from this album. It really could have. And yes, there's bias there because it's my favorite band of all time. I don't care. This album is incredible. But number two is Nutshell by Alice in Chains.
Yeah, good pick.
Yeah. If I can't be my own, I'd feel better dead. That's the lyrics, the fucking guitar, the Lane. Nutshell is... There's a few perfect songs on that album. That's one of them. My number one might be my favorite song of all time.
What?
I want it to be played at my funeral. It is, we've talked about it. You've talked about
Loser?
It.
What?
I've tried to hide it.
Loser's your favorite song?
I think it is. That's it. Loser is... It's definitely in my top five favorite songs of all time. It might be my favorite song.
I was fucking joking. Are you being
serious? I'm dead serious.
What?
That is, I could listen to that song on repeat every day for the rest of my life and be cool with it.
God damn it. I love that.
It's the coolest song that I've ever heard in my life.
That's,
but Evil.
I love that answer. I love that
good.
So much. In so many ways.
What's your favorite song?
That surprises me so much. We'll get to that. That I'm just holy. Okay. I already have raved about the album. I've already mentioned a song from this album, but it's The Day I Tried to Live by Soundgarden.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Fucking chef's kiss.
It's so good.
It's the weird stutter timing they do in the. Everything about that song is—it's artful, it's nuanced, it's heavy, it is well written, it's beautiful, it's vocally, musically, it's a fucking perfect song.
You know who's a pretty good drummer, and I'm speaking to that
bit.
Song.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's not bad.
No,
I'll just say that. No, that's I am very happy with that pick. We got to get done with this because I want to go listen to Super Unknown really bad. All we have left to do is our top 10 of the year. We're going to take a break and we're going to give them to you. So not so stupid. We are back. We got to get to it. We're running a little over. It is what it is. It's 1994. We knew this was going to happen. We collectively decided our top 10 albums of this year. And hey, I'm going to say it right now. We put a poll out on YouTube and on Instagram, and we actually got a lot of fucking votes. So we will talk about that when we get there. We are not there yet.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to have a question. Are you saying that our poll got a lot of action?
That's not a dad joke. That is way too risque for a dad joke.
That's an uncle joke.
That's an uncle. That's an uncle on his third scotch joke is what that is. Look, we each came in with our 10, but what was funny is where I thought there was going to be a lot of arguing.
No.
You can't, like, what are we going to say to each other? Like, why that album doesn't deserve to be on your 10? They all deserve to be there. Yeah. So it makes it fucking impossible.
Before you go on, what makes it fucking impossible is this is like a quarter of the albums that we're going to have to contend with for the top 10 for the whole fucking year.
Jesus Christ. You have saved my ass so many times on this episode. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are doing this King of the Hill style. So, first quarter, we've got our top 10. That remains our top 10 until the next quarter. And then we aren't doing a different one for each quarter. They're staying on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, next quarter, super unknown if that's on our list. I mean, you all, come on. We'll have to contend with whatever's in the second quarter.
If it's not one or two by the end, I am flipping over the goddamn card table at the end of the year.
That's interesting. So we both came in with our shit. Was there anything on your list that you want to talk about that didn't make it on there? We've talked about all of them, right? Edit all of this fucking stupid shit out. Let's start over. We are at our top 10 of the year best albums. What we feel was the best collectively. Mm. We each brought some different things, but there really wasn't any arguing because you can't argue fucking. You can't argue any of these albums. Like,
right.
There's going to be a couple fights about which one is better, but
sure.
You guys can fight with us too. You let us know. Let us know where we're being stupid and where we are not, because there's a few albums that are left off. There's a few albums we didn't even talk about, you know?
That's true. Boomers, who came out without, like, Yes had an album this year. Like,
oh God, they did.
Yeah. Yes. There's just not enough fucking bandwidth to talk about everything. And because we're still in Q1. We're still in Q1. Yes.
Here's an album we haven't talked about yet.
It's the C&D show.
Jesus Christ. We gotta fucking get there, man. Here's an album we haven't talked about. Our number 10 on the list. And this is one of those, did not see this coming at all. And that is Ben Harper's debut album, Welcome to the Cruel World. Holy fuck, this album is good, dude.
I 100% agree. I said it earlier. I'm so glad that you brought it to my attention. I had never listened to it before. Blew me away.
Oh.
Has aged well. In my opinion, has aged well.
So well.
That could be released today and fucking kill it.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because Ben Harper justifiably is known for the shit after this. You know, right. He came out with Faded. It got huge.
Yeah.
And he had two or three albums right there. I forgot how fucking good this album is. And it deserves to be played all the fucking time. It's so good, dude.
Yeah.
Our number 9, we haven't talked about this one either.
No.
And one of our favorite artists ever, both of ours. You have the list, right? Do you have the list?
I do.
Okay, so you give the 9 then.
Number 9 is solo effort by Mark Lanegan. It is Whiskey for the Holy Ghost, which I had not listened to before this. So that was a pleasant thing to actually get to do. Because, one of our favorites.
This was such a fucking, And this was such a hard album for him to do. It took him forever because we all, like Mark Lanegan, we did a episode about him before. He had such a fucking, problem with drugs. He had such a problem with, he did not feel, Mark Lanegan was in his prime with people like fucking Kurt Cobain, Billy Corgan, Lane Staley, Courtney Love. He felt like a fucking imposter. And he didn't even want to release this fucking album because he just didn't think it was good enough. Dude, he was the not imposter, dude. He was, if anybody deserved to be there, it was this fucking guy. He was the realest fucking dude out of anybody.
If you are the special sauce that makes Queens of the Stone Age songs better, you're not a fucking imposter, dude. Come on.
Absolutely right. Our number eight, we kind of touched on it, another debut album, kind of killing it. God, so you said it, so many good debut albums, but Motorcade of Generosity by Cake, fucking Jolene, Rock and Roll Lifestyle, Grand Piano, it's You Part the Waters is the name of the song. Dude, what a fucking killer debut album. Dude, of some weird shit of a fucking band with a trumpet in it. What?
Right?
What?
Yeah.
That's and not grunge.
Not critically well accepted.
Nope.
I mean, they obviously did okay after
this is
that.
A college radio album.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
I already talked about this one, our number six. But once again,
I'm glad
does not get the credit it deserves because of the effort after it.
Yeah.
It is Blunted on Reality by the Fugees. Speaking for myself, as someone that did not give this the chance it deserved, I'd heard it. I didn't, it kind of went past me, but now that I've grown older and I really, really appreciate the line walked between pissed off hip hop and conscious hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
It's like De La Soul, but pissed off. And it's like Beastie Boys, but it's actually saying something. I mean, this is, you know, this is 3 years after Rodney King. The LAPD was just now like finally being flushed out. This album is fucking gnarly, really good, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad this is on here because 94 is like, we're going to talk mostly about alternative and rock music this year. It is like a changing of the guard year for hip hop. So it's sort of the end of one era and the beginning of the other. There's some like really big debuts this year that we'll talk about in the next quarter. So I'm glad this made it on, and I'm glad that I was able to, like, I've never listened to this album before studying for this. It's fucking so good.
There are a few gargantuan hip hop albums. That are going to get talked about this year. Yes.
But it's in terms of like hip hop, this is like a change in direction year. It's kind of like a reset year. In a lot of ways.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes. I just didn't realize how ahead of the curve they were earlier than I thought they were. That's what I'll say.
Because when was Lauryn Hill's, her album was like 98, and that was off the kind of off the success of what comes after this album.
Yes, exactly. Why don't you give us our number five, Evil? Because it is kind of close to your heart.
I am so happy that this made it on here because I wasn't sure how...
It deserves it.
I didn't know what you would think of this album. And it's Prongs Cleansing. It is one of the most pivotal metal albums for me as the resident metalhead here on verse, chorus, verse. I fucking love it. When I was actually playing music in live as a human person out performing music, my band...
You were in live?
Yeah, I was in live.
Fuck, we're going to talk about you later this year.
No, nice. When I was performing live music many, many moons ago, there was a band, a local Boise band called Rip Chain. I don't know if they still are a thing, but... The lead singer and guitar player, Dave, the heavy metal slave, he was kind of like a local metal music guy at the time. He really liked our band, and he's like, I really like you guys. You kind of remind me of Prong. And I'm like, that's fucking not what we were going for. However, I will take it because that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. They were big Prong fans. So that was high praise from Dave, the heavy metal slave.
So another one. Our number four, we have not touched on.
No, we haven't talked about this yet.
No. And I am so glad that you let this be on there. And not because
I said it should be.
That's what I'm saying. You've never talked shit about it or anything. I just, as somebody that doesn't really know your opinion,
Sure.
I would think that this would be the one I'd be like, man, I kind of got to fucking subvert this into this list. This
totally belongs in the... Yeah, yep.
You have your like... Stevie Wonder is the only one I can think of off the top of my head. Artists that have come out with four... Their first four albums are just fucking insane. There are very few that you can think of in the top off the top of your head. But for a sophomore album to be not only this good, but this influential and this fucking weird in a good way. Mm-hmm. It's Under the Pink by Tori Amos. Ow. Such a good fucking album, dude.
You will never catch me listening to Tori Amos. I'll just say that. However, I 100% think that this should be on the list and in the top five of the list.
That's why you should be on a music podcast.
Yeah.
Little Earthquakes in 92. She comes out with this in 94. Then she comes out with Boys for Pele. And then whatever the school for choir girls or whatever. She just couldn't write a bad. She couldn't. She had rival sons syndrome. She couldn't write a bad. Doesn't write a bad. Song,
yep. Rival sons syndrome. That's a thing now.
Oh shit. I've been listeners. Yeah, that was our number five.
Yeah.
I apologize. And it's not even that I've been drinking. It's that I fucking listed this like a, I haven't gotten to talk about this yet, but what makes me happy is I haven't gotten to talk about it because fucking Evil has, which that's my shocker of the episode. But the number four is Mellow Gold by Beck. One of my favorite artists. Yeah, I like him. Okay. Yeah,
he's okay.
Yeah. This was it. This put him on the fucking map. Dude. This album. Wait, this guy's folk hip hop. And
yeah, right.
And it just fucking blew up from there with a little bit of, he had these heavy guitars. Sometimes it, nobody'd heard anything like this fucking shit.
No,
it was amazing.
No, you know what blew me away is he released an album like not far before this, like just a few days before it.
Yep.
And I had never listened to that before, but I don't think it's as good.
It's not.
No, it's not.
That was his, hey, look, I know how to write songs, so put me in the fucking studio, please.
Yeah.
Evil, I want you to take number three, because I don't want to give it its the fucking props it deserves.
Okay. If I can separate people appreciating art when the artists do awful things, I can talk good about Green Day. Is that framing it okay?
That's framing it perfectly. Yes, that's absolutely because perfect.
In the time, I maybe should have put this in the category of albums that did not age well. Because, it's not because the album didn't age well. It's because I'm not a fucking child anymore. And I grew up. And I just don't vibe with this music the same way I would have at the age of 17, 18 when I was.
Absolutely.
1994. But Dookie is a fucking killer album.
It is. You know what's funny is I went back to research it. My mind thinks of Green Day as two good albums and then shit for not just shit, but the worst shit forever. I went back to this album and I turn it on and song number one comes on. I'm like, oh, that's fine. Song number two comes on. Wait, what? Song number three comes on. Wait, was all of Green Day just fucking terrible bullshit? With it, what the was I fucking? And then Longview comes on, followed by Welcome to Paradise, followed by Pulling Teeth, followed by Basket Case, followed by She. Then you get When I Come Around, Coming like, and I was like, okay, yeah, that's a fucking like seven song run that's fucking incredible.
Yeah,
it really is.
Number one, we've already talked about Woodstock 94. And we'll talk about it again in the future because that happened later in the year. Am I right? Am I wrong? When did Woodstock?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
We can talk about that now because this album is what they played and it's one of the greatest live performances you're ever going to fucking see.
Right. I agree. I don't want to sound like the old get off my lawn guy, but I just don't connect with this the same way. It's okay. If they tried to make this album today, remember what we did to Blink 182 earlier?
Oh,
right. Because yes. Blink tried to make the album that they made,
a Blink album.
They tried to make a 90s Blink yes. album in current era. And it says, what are you guys doing?
Here's what I'll say about Green Day. And because I think it speaks to, like, it's not Dookie, for example, I'm not really going to listen to it anymore, but mm-hmm. here's the thing. I have a 9-year-old daughter
yeah.
who won't stop listening to fucking Taylor Swift. Who's and other shit. And
hey, say what you will about Taylor's music, at least her album art is fucking amazing. And
my God. Just Google the fucking art for the 1989 re-release. It is a fucking Abercrombie and Fitch catalog. It's the worst fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. My point is that this is the type of album that I would subtly put on in the car and start playing, and she starts like banging along to it and be like, what is this? Right. Like, oh, this is Dookie by Green Day. Like, you like this? This is pretty cool, right? Like, this is one of those albums that you can get the kids away from the bullshit of now and into the
bullshit from 1994.
Yes. Into songs about fucking masturbation and being bored. Yeah, that's maybe not the best.
You know, whoops. I loved this album back then. I admit it. I thought it was fucking fantastic. It's still listenable. Not a big Green Day fan, but this album belongs on the list for 1994.
So, like I said, I put a poll out, YouTube and Instagram. We actually got a lot of
action.
We got a lot of fucking votes.
So much action.
Our poll got a ton of action, actually, surprisingly. But you want to know what the worst part about it was? Is that even though we got a shit ton of people that voted, there was a fucking tie. And the tie was Super Unknown and Dookie. But here's the thing. You guys are fucking idiots. Because for anybody that thinks that Dookie is better than the Downward Spiral, and yeah, I'm looking at you specific listeners that I know and love that picked Dookie over fucking Downward Spiral, you goddamn assholes. It's our podcast, and we are not putting Dookie above Nine Inch Nails.
No,
so
no.
Here's where we have the top two of the night, and this is where it gets ugly. And it's not going to be too ugly, because first, I want to start the whole thing by saying I'm conceding, and where I think Downward Spiral deserves to be number one, because I personally think that it is far more influential than Super Unknown. I also am in love. I think Super Unknown is one of the greatest rock albums ever. And you, the people, voted Super Unknown way more than the Downward Spiral. Way more. So I will concede, but I think there's going to be some contention for the rest of the year between Evil and I on Super Unknown versus the Downward Spiral.
I'm okay with that, because it's not like I don't like the Downward Spiral. It's an amazing album. It is. I just haven't mm-hmm. lived with it as long as I've lived with Super Unknown.
Splitting up these two albums is our personalities,
yeah,
honestly.
100%. Oh, like, my God. Yes,
I grew up wanting to be a fucking dark, twisted fucking, you know, violent thoughts, quiet guy. And you wanted to rock your dick off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Super Unknown in the Downward Spiral.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really is. And they're both fucking
amazing.
They're both, I would be shocked if they weren't 10 out of 10s, both of them.
Yeah, both of them. That's spoiler like territory, but I think those are both 10 out of 10.
Not really.
I mean, honestly, that's...
That wall's about to fill up this year.
Hope you like tequila.
I do.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nine Inch Nails Downward Spiral is in at number two. Super Unknown is in at number one. I don't know. Maybe next quarter I'll get a hair up my ass and we're going to have to fucking really fight over it.
I would.
I'm okay, but.
There are so many albums that we have to contend with coming up.
There really is.
We've talked it's about gonna be one a problem. Of them already. But I would be okay with those albums flipping.
It's too hard to fight over because it is like.
Right.
I can't. There is nothing in me that wants to argue against Super Unknown. There's nothing
right,
in
right,
me
right,
that
right,
wants
yeah.
to do that. You know?
You know, it's good. Oh, I'm thinking about other stuff coming down the pike that I'm like, there are three albums this year that I would have a really hard time picking as the top album out of the three and ordering the three. At any point in time. And one of them,
we're not doing it.
I'm shutting up because we'll get there. This is like December talk that I'm getting to.
You see where we're going this year, folks. This is it. This is what we've got. It's going to be a long, hard one.
That's what she said.
Thank you. That's it. So, you know what? Super Unknown's our number one for now. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be really hard to top that one, and I'm okay with that.
So much coming up. I would venture to say our top 10 will change throughout the year.
It will. I really do think it will. And multiple of these albums are going to be talked about later on. We've got a listener supported coming up in a couple episodes where one of these albums is the episode we talk about. Looking forward to that. We've got the fucking producer of one of these albums. But next week, what do we got? It's our first good old fashioned break it down episode, Evil. It is Evil, Rachel and I talking about three songs that
I like these episodes too. They're so fun.
I love these episodes so much. That's next week. VerseCourseVerse.com at VerseCourseVersePod. You can see by the length of time how much we just fucking love doing this year. This is so much fun, dude. It's so much fun.
It is.
Ugh. Let's go get drunk and listen to Super Unknown in the Downward Spiral. And don't forget to listen to Down With Disease, Evil. Give it a shot.
I will. Maybe.
Good night and good luck. Oh my God.